So since college basketball has become day-to-day, but we all are day-to-day, Creighton has not played since Saturday, which they blew out St. John's. They go on the road to Hinkle Fieldhouse this Saturday to take on Butler, and then the schedule will pick up a little bit, fingers crossed, that games are played as scheduled. So nice little respite, a week off, especially with Marcus Zagorowski and Sharif Mitchell being banged up. Marcus didn't play against St. John's, but he is day-to-day. We'll see if he plays on Saturday. Let's welcome in former Jay and somebody who here does a fantastic job on the radio during Creighton games, Brody Deren. Good Thursday afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, managing through the bug in our household, but we're doing all right.
Well, I hope everyone is well. It's a good day to stay inside, as the weather here in Omaha is not great, and somebody told me there's a blizzard warning for tomorrow.
Well, I'll take it. Yesterday was gorgeous. It was my wife's birthday, and she managed to play golf in the snow. So good for her.
Whoa! Where did she play?
Happy Hollow. She went with our 10-year-old and banged around 9 holes in the snow.
Oh God, love your wife. She a good golfer?
She's serviceable. Like she's decent, right? She doesn't embarrass herself most of the time.
All right. So Marcus Zagorowski doesn't play against St. John's. They hold him out, got a little hamstring. How much of a hamstring is a concern when it's a guy like Marcus?
Well, I think it's a concern for anybody, but, you know, that's obviously the injury that can keep rearing its ugly head depending on how you manage it and how it manifests. It's, not dissimilar to COVID in terms of how it kind of produces different people respond to it at different times. But there's not a whole lot you can do, right? But treatment and rest, and then hope that, you make a full recovery. Obviously not surprised. There must have been confidence from Greg McDermott and the staff that they would, with Sharif in the starting role, they could, get past St. John's, which they did, and give Marcus that extra rest, knowing that they had the week off this coming week. So, definitely a concern and something to monitor, because it's also one of those things that you can sometimes play with it and play through it for a long period of time. It's not one that any of us would elect to do.
I know every game matters, and there are no guaranteed wins, but could you err on the side of caution looking at who you're playing this weekend and knowing what's available if Sharif Mitchell is good to go, that you could hold Marcus out for another game and get him set for the stretch where they're going to play 9 games in 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. I think that choice was made, obviously at home with in the St. John's game, probably a little bit more confidence there just because of it being home and the second time you played him and kind of knowing, what you could expect a little bit more versus on the road and the first time you're facing Butler this year with a number of newcomers and how you might match up and how that might look. So maybe a little bit more risk this weekend, but I'm certain that that is on the staff's mind, and the gamesmanship will remain, not knowing whether or not Marcus is a go, at least from what we all learned, upwards of an hour before the game, most likely kind of like this past Saturday. But I would certainly be in support of that. You're in a good position where you are in the season right now, and we all know how important Marcus is to this squad. So I'm sure that that's on the staff's mind.
When you play on a team where you really, really like your teammates and you have great chemistry, and any opportunity you get, if you're not one of the top 5 or the top 8, you seize that opportunity. Sharif Mitchell is one of those players that is in the top 8, but now he gets thrust into the starting role and he responds accordingly. What have you seen, Brody, in a year difference from freshman to sophomore, Sharif Mitchell, that you like about his game and what he's been able to do to his game?
Yeah. Well, I think the decision-making has gotten better. He's learned. I mean, he picked his spots well, was aggressive at the right times against St. John's. His ability to get to the rim has always been there, but I think he's finished at a more successful rate. And then obviously his jump shot has served him better this year. I don't think Sharif is ever going to be an elite shooter, but somebody that you have to respect from 3 as he started, the St. John's game, St. John's gave him space and he knocked down an open jumper at the top of the key. Like, that's a good way to obviously pull that defense out and make them respect you, which creates space for your teammates as well as for yourself to make other plays. So I think it's a variety of confidence, and then, you know, the jump shot and decision making. And he responded incredibly well. I mean, Sharif had himself probably his best game as a Blue Jay against St. John's.
And, you know, we saw him right away last year, and we expected his defense to be really good. And now he's added that little bit of a scoring element as he got 10 against St. John's. Another player that stepped up that, you know, you get during the course of a season when you are built like Creighton and you have the aspirations, the expectations, and you know that you're headed in the right direction. And then you get the bonus that the NCAA says, blanket waiver, Alex O'Connell, come on down. What stands out about his game now that he is able to play and now he's been in the regular rotation? What do you think he does that just adds to this team's success?
Yeah, tons. I mean, you look down the line and see what the bench strength really is for this team. Alex is an elite athlete. It's evident. You watch him go after some defensive and offensive rebounds, and he plays way above the rim. And so if he's able to apply that, you know, in offensive situations, which we've seen, he shot the ball obviously very well against St. John's. And he's certainly a capable shooter. But I think, you know, just being able to inject his athleticism on both ends of the floor in that wing position is a huge benefit. You know, it's a different look. It's more of a, you know, a Damian Jefferson type of look, whereas, as we've talked about on this show, Denzel Mahoney is a little bit more groundbound and gives you a different look than Damian does. Antoine Jones also isn't an elite level athlete. A solid athlete, but not, you know, a really above the rim type of player. Whereas, you know, AOC really adds a different element for this team.
I think the other thing you can tell about him, and he's played basketball for a while at a high level. And you hang around guys at Duke, whether it be the head coach or your teammates, you absorb that stuff. You come to play at a place like Creighton. You could tell he's a sponge, but I love his basketball IQ. And I mean, it's just simple things. I look at a play on Saturday where there was a loose ball. It deflected the Bishop. And, well, you know, St. John's had four guys kind of scrambling around as they thought they were going to get the ball. AOC goes to an open spot on the floor beyond the arc. Bishop has great court awareness, finds him, little quick chest pass. No hesitation, shoot three. I mean, that's a simple basketball play, but I think that says a lot about the acumen of between the ears on the floor, knowing where you're at and knowing where you have to be.
Well, and I think he's embraced the Creighton culture, and that will continue to come out, you know, in the way he plays. And Antoine Jones, too. I mean, both of these guys are very, very capable scorers. But, you know, I think they generally speaking, both of those gents have picked their spots when and how to be aggressive and continuing to learn and trust that giving up a good shot for a great shot will always pay dividends and come back around.
Hey, can you put yourself on the other side? If you're Mike Anderson on Saturday and you already knew you were up against it, you're not great defensively, you feel like you have enough offensively, but maybe not to get into a shootout with Creighton, but then you can feel things start to cave in. And Creighton goes on one of those runs where, I think in 22 possessions, they had 40 points, but it's the extra pass. It's inside, outside, and your head is on a swivel. Can you even imagine what that's like on the other side when Creighton gets into one of those runs like they did on Saturday?
No. It's got to be debilitating, you know, from a mental perspective and just from the you know, the motivation of your team and trying to keep them swimming the right way. I mean, the only thing that you know, I've seen that be effective at some of those times is just throwing a different defensive look at some, you know, at Creighton. We're dropping into an extended 1-3-1 or, you know, some sort of zone to try to loosen that up or slow them down with a sort of, half court press. I think that, however, in this particular season, those comments that I just made have been sort of pre the 2020 and 2021 season. I think this team has done a better job of handling zone and junk defenses, and they've broken the backs of those defenses relatively well. We've seen times in the past where you know, an opposing coach would slap on a zone or an extended 2-3 zone or something along those lines, and Creighton's really struggled against it, at least for a few possessions. But, you know, that you have to try something, and you figure, like, you'd be digging into your just, you know, the entire bag of tricks, knowing that you may actually be exposing yourself to just see that run accelerate.
Yeah, and they don't give you an unlimited amount of timeouts to try and stop things and on the court try and fix things. I mean, it's almost like, well, you know, tip your cap. We just don't have the guys to stop it when they get on a run like that. And it is demoralizing. I mean, you could tell that, you know, and St. John's is familiar with Creighton. And they kind of, you know, earlier in the year went on a similar type of run. Man, that body language changed quickly for St. John's on Saturday. And once that changed, I don't think Mike Anderson had, you know, he had any answers for his guys on how to stop it. And the next thing you know, it's a big deficit you're staring at while you're in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go on the road and you score 79 points and shoot whatever they shot, 45 or better percent from the field, you think you got a decent chance. And then you get 97 hung on you, you know, and but Creighton hit like 13 or 14 threes or whatever it was in that game, or 16 I think, actually. But, you know, what can you do? You know, you're just happy to get out of Omaha and turn the page.
Butler is usually one of the better teams in the league. I watched Butler the other night, and they don't look like the Butler that we're used to. What do you notice about this Butler team that Creighton will face for the first time this weekend?
Yeah, I agree. I think they're really struggling to everybody find their identity and role. You've got a number of new players. You know, J.R. Bolden is their leading scorer this year. He's a transfer in from South Carolina, and, you know, there's a number of new faces here. You know, I think that Butler toughness identity of hey, we're going to make it hard to score and kind of, you know, muck up the paint and do the things that they do. You know, that's what they want to be. I'm not sure that everybody's found their role within that and where the ball needs to be and who, you know, who's going to lead the charge all the time. So to me, it's just kind of an evolutionary year for them based on their personnel and where they are as a squad, you know, off to a rough start at 3-7 right now. So, you know, Coach Jordan, he's a good coach. You know, he'll get the ship righted in terms of you know, trying to build for the future. But they're suffering through those growing pains at the moment.
And usually when you go to Indianapolis and you walk into Hinkle Fieldhouse and how unique it is, Butler sells out the place, and especially when they play Creighton. There's always, the couple times I've been there, there's a lot of Creighton fans either live in the Indianapolis area or make that a trip or in there. It's going to be empty. You think by now we're into the middle of January. We've played, well, we're closing in on about 2 months of college basketball. Guys have gotten used to playing in gyms with no fans or limited fans, and it's just mano on mano. It basically comes into to pick up basketball.
Yeah, oh, I think so. I think that, you know, obviously the exception is when there are fans, and how different it seems in those circumstances. But I think this, the new normal or the current reality has probably set in. And the reality that you have to manufacture your own energy, you know, I mean, this is something that I think many players have probably experienced at different points. It's just all of the time now. I remember going on the road, you know, you'd play at Evan when we were in the Valley, you play at Evansville on a Tuesday in January, and there's, you know, 1,500 people there. It wasn't difficult from the perspective of, you know, there just wasn't a lot of energy in the building. You just had to manufacture all the energy yourself. So I think these players are used to that. And it's ultimately a sort of publicly televised closed scrimmage at this point.
And I think, you know, you watch around college basketball, whether from Gonzaga or to Iowa or Michigan, the better teams, Baylor included as well, and Creighton and Villanova, is that maybe the basketball might be better. You're not influenced by the crowd. The officials are not influenced by the fans. And it's just really good basketball on really good basketball. And us as consumers might greatly benefit, even though we'd like to have the atmosphere of a packed dome in Indianapolis for the Final Four or these packed arenas for the conference tournament or NCAA tournament. It just, maybe it's elevated the game of basketball a little bit because there's no outside distractions. It's just, you're good against my good.
Yeah, the great equalizer, so to speak, right? It's none of those extenuating circumstances to to influence it and see who's got it today, you know, without the benefit of the home crowd.
Great stuff, Brody, as always. I appreciate it. I appreciate listening to you and John. Be good, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Gary.
That's Brody Deren, former Creighton Blue Jay, who sits alongside John Bishop. Great stuff. Creighton again this weekend, 1 o'clock. It's changed again. Make note, don't be late. You show up at 3, you're going to get Bishop screaming at you at the end of the game, and then you'd get Blue Jay overtime. So it's been moved to 1 o'clock. Haven't you noticed that? I mean, now I'm in the mode, now that football is over, I'm paying more attention to national college basketball, not just some of the bigger games that have been on. Yeah, for some reason, I did it to myself last night. I watched a majority of the Ohio State-Northwestern game. If you missed the Texas Tech-Texas game, Mr. Former Georgetown, McClung, playing with Texas Tech, hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah.
As Texas lost their first conference game. All right, we come back. George, you have a Keurig, right?
I sure do.
A lot of us do. That's how we wake up in the morning. You get the K-Cup. Mm-hmm. You make yourself some coffee. Some of us are very bougie, so we've got the fancy coffee makers. But you and I are K-Cup guys. Mm-hmm. There is a brand new form of a Keurig for a different item that I think is going to be a must-have for both of us.
Ooh.
And many others. Plus, we'll get to a lot of snark going on about what Nebraska should do with special teams. People are on me. I said the head coach should take it over. You know what? At some point, you got to prove they got to run an entire program. Isn't being in charge of special teams also another sign that you can run an entire program? There's a bunch of different personalities and elements that go into special teams. Just saying. Just saying. Charlie Strong, who was with Urban Meyer at Florida, who had been on Nick Saban's staff, the former Texas head coach, the former South Florida head coach, will join Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. So Urban Meyer, who's last week, there were reports that he was putting together his staff. It looks like his staff is pretty much put together because there's starting to be things that are leaking out. Alabama has already lost 3 assistants to Texas. They lose Charlie Strong. Is this the end for Nick Saban? I mean, he's got to go hire some people. No. All right. Also, I think the move on special teams, if you had to identify with Nebraska football, 2 things or 3 things that you have to fix in the offseason when it comes to how you coach it, how you develop it, special teams had to be in your top 3. What's the next position, and how will that be dealt with? 119, it's the Gary Sharp Show with George, who's got an NBA minute before we're out of here at 2.